This is Rhema for Today.
I remembered his heart attack, and I thought, dear God, he may have another one right now, because that little old fellow was jumping up and down and just a waving his arms, and just the further he went, the louder he got, and so I just finally stopped and said, wait a minute. And he just kept blabbing, just kept going on. I said, shut up. And he just kept going on. I said, I command you to hush in the name of Jesus. So he stopped and looked at me.
Welcome to Rhema for Today. Kenneth E. Hagin continues his teaching, The ABCs of Bible Faith, next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin for today's message.
So I rushed home. My wife would have our noon meal. We eat one main meal in the middle of the day. She'd have it on the table the time I got there, around noon. And then the moment that we got through eating, well, we pushed the dishes back. She cleaned up the dishes in the kitchen, and we sat there, or I sat there with the kids, and for 2 or 3 hours every single day. And then you got to start getting ready for that night service. Well, it's too much. You'd meet yourself coming back. I met a fellow come back one day and said, who's that? Well, that's me, I'll declare. I mean, you met yourself coming back. You know what I mean by that expression? And so 1 year cured us. But nonetheless, I've said that to you so you know why that I rushed right out of the morning service. And in the nighttime, after ministering, laying hands on people, the anointing is upon you. Somewhere or another, it settles down in your legs and you can't hardly stand up. And so you get away then from the crowd. And so Dr. Duffield said, this little fellow wants to talk to you. And he said, I believe you can help him. I wouldn't ask because I know how busy you are. And I know that the noon meal's on the table waiting for you. But I believe you can help him. And he went on to explain that this fella had come to his office before the meeting had ever started, and that he was 72 years of age, and that he was an agnostic. Now, not an infidel or an atheist, an agnostic. You see, the atheist says there is no God. The agnostic said, well, there may be a God, but if there is, I don't know it. And so he said, I talked to him and actually prayed with him and thought I got him saved, but evidently I didn't, and he wants to talk to you. And so I said, well, all right, I'll take time with the fellow. And then he went on to explain, 72 years of age, and he's had a serious heart attack. And the heart specialist gives him no chance at all to live. He could just fall dead any minute, you see. And so I took a few moments, and Dr. Duffield went back to get the fellow and bring him up and introduced him to me and went on his way. And the little fellow right at first was very calm, and he said, Brother Hagin, maybe you could help me. He said, I'm not an atheist. I don't say that there isn't a God, but I said, if there is one, I don't know it. But he said, and he went on to explain to me again that he's 72, that he'd had this heart attack, that the heart specialist said he could fall dead any minute, nothing he could do, he had to die, and gave him just yet the very most, a little while to live. And so he said, if there is a God, and if the Bible is so, and if there is a heaven, I want to go there. And if there is a hell, which I don't believe there is one, but if there is one, I don't want to go there. And if there is a heaven, which I don't believe there is one, I want to go there. And if there is a God, which I don't believe there is one, well, I'm going to get acquainted with him. And if the Bible is true, and if you can prove to me that there's a God, and if you can prove to me that the Bible's true and the Word of God, then I could be saved. And if there's a heaven, I could go there. And if there's a hell, I could miss it. And if there is a heaven and I don't go there, and if there is a hell and I go there, and you don't prove to me there's a God, then you're to blame for me going to hell. And he just got to ranting and raving. I remembered his heart attack, and I thought, dear God, he may have another one right now. Because that little old fellow was jumping up and down and just waving his arms. And just the further he went, the louder he got. And so I just finally stopped and said, wait a minute. And he just kept blabbing, just kept going on. I said, shut up. And he just kept going on. I said, I command you to hush in the name of Jesus. So he stopped and looked at me. I said, now, first of all, Jesus did not say, go into all the world and prove to people there's a God. Jesus did not say, go into all the world and prove to people the Bible so. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The good news that Jesus came and died and rose from the dead and ascended on high and sat down at the right hand of the Father, and eternal life and redemption, the new birth, belongs to every man and every woman in this world. And it belongs to you. Now, I said, I'm very busy. the pastor told you. And my wife's waiting, and the food's on the table right now, because I'm prone many times, as you well know, to preach overtime. And they're waiting on me. And dinner's getting cold. And I said, besides that, you couldn't be saved anyhow. Because the Bible said in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. And he that cometh unto God must believe he is. You don't believe he is, so you couldn't come to him anyway. Goodbye. Turned around, walked out a side door. And as I went out that side door of the church, I looked back at this little fellow. He's standing there bewildered, and he shook his fist at me. And stuck his tongue out. Yeah, he did. I didn't make that up. He did. He fat did. Shook his fist at me. 72-year-old man. Well, I went my way. I got in my truck. See, I had a Chevrolet, 3-4-ton Chevrolet truck I pulled that trailer with. And so I went home. I'd drive it in the morning time, keep the battery built up. In the night time, we had 98 Oldsmobile family car. We'd go to church at night in that with the family. And so I got home, had the meal, thought more about it. About 2 days later, 2 or 3 days later, Dr. Duffield came back to me and said, Brother Agin, that little fella is back and he wants to talk to you. Now, he said, I wouldn't ask you. I'll be honest with you. But I believe he seemed like he's mellowed, and his attitude has changed. And he said, and I said, all right, I'll do it. So he came, and right at first he did. He seemed like he had humbled down. He's very quiet, and you know. But he got to talking, and it seemed like he got anointed with the wrong spirit. And he just got lit up and got to yelling and hollering, if I go to hell, you're to blame for it. If there is a hell, I don't believe there's one. And if I miss heaven, if there is one, I don't believe there's one, you're going to be to blame for it. Because you haven't proven to me that there's a Bible, that the Bible's true. And you haven't proven to me that there's a God. Now, if you can prove to me the Bible is the Word of God and that there is a God, then I could be saved. And if there is a heaven, I could go there. And if there is a hell, I could miss it. And on he went. And I just stopped him again. Commanded him to shut up in the name of Jesus. Had to. Asked him a time or two nicely to shut up, and he wouldn't do it. So I just commanded him in Jesus' name, shut up! Had to get loud, because he's gotten loud. And he shut up. And I said to him again, I said, you know, our noon meal, we eat our main meal in the day. My wife's wondering where I am right now, because I've run over again in my preaching. It's past 12 o'clock. And then I took up the offering, see, and I ought to be there. She's wondering right now, the meals are getting cold. I don't have time to argue and fuss with you whether there is a God or not. I don't have time to debate with you and argue and fuss about the matter whether the Bible's the Word of God or not. God did not tell me to go into all the world and argue and fuss and debate with people whether there is a God or whether there isn't one. He didn't tell me to go into all the world and argue and fuss with people and debate with people whether the Bible is the Word of God and whether it's true or not. He just said, go preach the gospel. Just go tell them the good news. And he that believeth, see, there's going to be some of them believing, and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not, there's some of them that's not going to believe, are going to be damned, he said. And then I said to him again, besides that, you couldn't be saved anyway. I said, Hebrews 11:6 says, he that cometh unto God must believe that he is. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And he that cometh unto God must believe he is. Well, you don't believe God is. You don't believe there is a God. You don't believe God is. So you couldn't come to him anyhow. Goodbye, I'll see you. And I went out that side door, got in my truck, went home. But as I walked down the side of that church to get to my car, my heart went out to that little fella. 72 years old. Severe heart condition. The heart specialist has given up on him. He could fall dead any minute. And if he falls dead any minute, he doesn't know God. He's going to hell. There is a hell. I know that. And so I said, dear Lord, with tears I said it. Dear Lord, the Word of God said faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. At least I did give him one scripture. I gave him Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh unto God must believe that he is. Take that verse, dear Lord, I said, and open his heart. I ask you in Jesus' name that when he sleeps, he'll dream about Hebrews 11:6. He that cometh unto God must believe he is. I ask you that if he wakes up in the nighttime, that Hebrews 11:6 will be standing at the foot of the bed, staring him in the face. I ask you that in the daytime as he walks around, that Hebrews 11:6 will just churn round on the inside of him. Sure enough, a couple of days later, Dr. Duffield came again. Said, "Brother Hagin, that little fellow's back. And he wants to talk to you." And I wouldn't. He said, "I'll get to you this time. He's ready." I said, "All right." And he came. The fellow came just so humble, just so meek and quiet. And said to him, "Brother Hagin, I don't want to argue. I don't want to fuss. I don't want to debate. I don't want you to prove anything to me." He said, "Do you know what?" I said, "What?" He said, "You know that verse of scripture you gave me? I can tell you where it's found. Hebrews 11:6. I can tell you what it said. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And he said, "You know what?" I said, "What?" "Why," he said, "at night, the last two nights, nearly all night long, I dreamed about that verse. Two or three times," he said, "I woke up, and it seemed like that verse of scripture was standing at the foot of the bed, staring me in the face. And the last 2 days walking around, wherever I am, that just seemed to be churning around on the inside of me." And he said, "I thought about it. Well, I want to come to God. And the scripture said, he that cometh unto God must believe he is. And so if I want to get to God, I've got to start believing he is." He said, "I want you to know, sir, I believe God is."
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, and the rest of the Hagin family by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. This month, we're offering Kenneth Hagin's CD entitled The Joshua Generation. We're also offering Craig Hagin's message, Put On All the Armor of God. Next is Lynette Hagin's teaching, What Should We Be Focusing On? And last is Denise Hagin Burns' message, Anchor Moments. All these items at the special price of $20. Call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. Again, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org, rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
Camp meeting coming up very quickly.
Oh, yes.
July the 21st through the 26th. It starts on a Sunday night, 6 yeah. p.m.
And then yeah, on Monday. Sunday night it's at 6 p.m., uh-huh. but Monday through Friday,
yes,
it's at 10 a.m., 2:30 p.m. and 7:30 p.m.
That's right.
And there is summer blitz for the mm-hmm. teenagers, 6th through the 12th grade. There's children's ministry, infants through 5th grade.
Yes.
The night services only.
Yes.
But let me tell you what, that summer blitz is like a youth camp.
It is.
And it is great. In fact, many, many churches use it as their youth camp.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, just go to rhema.org/CM and find out all about it.
Tomorrow, more from Kenneth E. Hagin with his classic teaching, The ABCs of Bible Faith. If you'd like, you can visit our online bookstore at rhema.org. Thanks for listening to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.